You are Locked On Jets, your daily podcast on the New York Jets, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
It is Friday, September 15th, 2017, and this is the Locked On Jets podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Now, if you enjoy the show, please subscribe to it, and we will deliver it to your device each day so you can listen wherever you feel like it. Your options include iTunes and Spotify if you choose to subscribe. And if you enjoy it, also please give it a good rating in iTunes. We appreciate it. And leave your Twitter handle to have a chance to win a free subscription to Pro Football Focus with all of their stats and grades. The Jets are in action. It is week 15 of the NFL season. Only 3 weeks left. It's amazing how the NFL season just flies by. It's gone in the blink of an eye. I mean, really, doesn't it just feel like yesterday the Jets were getting ready to kick the season off in Buffalo? And now here we are, we're near the end. The Jets, of course, are 5-8 and mathematically alive for the playoffs, but their odds are not looking very good at 5-8 because even if they win out, they still need a lot of help. And they have quite a challenge in front of them because they have three quality opponents left on the schedule, starting this week in New Orleans, taking on the Saints. And last week I talked about the most difficult road venues in the sport, and I mentioned that there are three outdoor stadiums that are always just nightmares to play in, and those stadiums are Seattle, Kansas City, and Denver. There are also a lot of there are some indoor stadiums that are nightmarish to play in, and this is one that I just think is a really tough trip. The Superdome down in New Orleans against a good Saints team in December. It's a game with implications for them, so I think this is going to be a really tough task for the Jets. Today we will preview the game on this podcast, and as we've done all season, I'll give you one key player, one key matchup, and one key to victory on both sides of the ball. So let's start on offense, and at the risk of, and I usually try to avoid doing this, but I think the key player on offense is pretty obviously Bryce Petty. I try to avoid going with the quarterback because the quarterback's kind of obvious, but there are special circumstances this year, and I think when you have the backup stepping in for the injured starter, that's a scenario where you can really point to the quarterback as one of the wild cards of this game. Of course, Petty played a very strong preseason game against the Giants, which, who knows, maybe it saved his roster spot, because I'm not sure it was a lock the Jets were keeping three quarterbacks this year, but that preseason game pretty much put to bed any speculation about Petty's place on this roster. And it also got him the number two job over Christian Hackenberg, because Hackenberg really struggled. I think heading into this preseason, Hackenberg was probably looking at being the number two guy. The Jets gave him a chance to earn the starting job, and he kind of played his way out of the two spot, and Petty played his way into it with a strong week three preseason game against the Giants. Now Petty steps in with Josh McCown out for the season. He gets the start, and what can we expect? Last year, Petty got in late in the year. He actually had a start against the Rams in November also for an injured Ryan Fitzpatrick, and then after the Jets fell out of playoff contention, Petty got a few starts near the end of the year and really was not very good. But the caveat is he was a project player who the Jets really did not want to play that year. That's why they brought him in as the third quarterback. He was not a guy who was supposed to play in 2016. Now things are a little different. At some point, Petty's got to be able to go out and play effective football. He wasn't able to last year. He didn't have great surroundings, but the issue really was not the surroundings. Petty just was really not up to the task last year. He's in year three. He's 26 years old. At some point, you got to be able to go out there and play the game effectively. So that'll be the question. Petty had a really rough performance last week against Denver when he came in from an injured McCown, but it's a little different this week. Last week, he was kind of thrown into the mix after the game was already out of hand. The Jets were not blocking anybody, either run blocking or pass protecting. He was put into a really impossible situation last week. Now, he made some bad reads. He made some mistakes. Mechanically, he was a little erratic. So, there were some things you didn't love there. But it's a little different when you have a full week to prepare, full week being the guy in the meetings, installing the game plan, working with the first team receivers. It's one of those things that's important that people, I think, underestimate is how important it is to have that week of practice. You always hear about it, but when the team installs the game plan, what happens is they don't use the full playbook. Essentially, what you do is you pick so many plays, whether it's 30, 40, 50 out of your playbook, and these may be plays you haven't practiced since training camp. So you need to that's what a lot of practice is dedicated to, is just working on those plays, recalling those plays and seeing how a receiver is going to run a route, where he's going to break, you know, whether it's, and even if it's like a yard off, even if you're a split second off, that can throw off a pattern. And I mean, I don't know if that's what happened last week against Denver. I'm not sure. I think for some of them it may have been, but I think it's important that Petty had a week of practice this week. Now we're going to see, we're going to get a better idea of what he's capable of right now. And, you know, your guess is as good as mine on that front. But obviously, Petty's going to play a very key role as to whether the Jets win this game. Now let's move to the defensive side of the ball. And my key player is Maurice Claiborne. And, you know, over the last few weeks, sometimes my key player has been as much about big picture as it is small picture. And Claiborne's my guy this week because he's played two straight bad games. Once again, I have my eye on him because this is not just a player whose presence is very important in the secondary. You know, for points this year, he was really the only guy who played well in the secondary for stretches. And it's important if you have one guy, if you have one corner who can cover, it makes life so much easier for the rest of the defense, because if you can at least trust one corner to shut a guy down, then you can send help to weaker spots on the field, simplify your coverages. It makes life a lot easier. And Claiborne has not really been up to the task the last 2 weeks, which is a problem because he's supposed to be the number one corner on this team. I think he's probably, you know, if this continues, he'll probably cost himself some money in free agency. And there's also the issue of injuries. Is Claiborne's not healthy right now. He's once again dealing with a foot problem. Can he show that he's healthy? And we've talked about this on the show extensively over the last few weeks. We've talked about how Claiborne's one of those guys. We talked about it yesterday with our friend Michael. You're watching Claiborne over these last few weeks to see whether he finishes the season strong. If he has a really good last 3 weeks, then this will be a pretty successful season for him. If he, you know, is banged up, if he doesn't play well, if injuries hamper him, the season takes on a different look. It kind of looks like a guy who played well for maybe, you know, half a season, maybe a little bit more, but could not withstand the grind of an NFL season. So that's the situation here for Claiborne. That's the reality for Claiborne, is right now he's going to show you whether he's a guy you can rely upon, whether he's a guy worth re-signing in free agency, or whether he's a guy who, you know, can play well for stretches, but just can't stay healthy, can't play with the consistency demanded at the position. And, you know, the Saints, it's interesting because the Saints have a very dynamic passing attack. So, I mean, this is not an easy matchup in that sense, but the Saints don't have a ton of receivers that really put strike fear in you. It's really, I mean, this is a Drew Brees offense. It's an offense, you know, they have good backs, they have good players at certain spots, but they don't really have a type of game-breaking player at the receiver position. I mean, they have some quality players, but I think it's more a Drew Brees kind of offense. I think it's an offense that, so Brees can pick you apart with the open guy, but they've always been this way. And Michael Thomas is having an excellent season, but they've always been more of an offense that kind of spreads the ball around, that gets everybody involved. So from that sense, it's not as difficult, but you know, it's the first step for Claiborne. He's got to play well in this game. Now let's talk key matchups. And on the offensive side of the ball, I'm going Robbie Anderson versus the first round pick of the Saints in the 2017 NFL draft, and that is Marshon Lattimore, the corner out of Ohio State. And Lattimore is playing at a superstar level as a rookie. He really is. And I'll tell you, this was a guy I loved heading into the draft. I would not have been upset one bit if the Jets had drafted him. Player at a premium position, and he looks like he's already one of the best corners in the league. He is an elite-level talent at the position. So it'll be a good test for Anderson, and I think you'll see Anderson up against Lattimore plenty. And to the extent the Jets have a big play threat on offense, it is Robbie Anderson. I think, you know, you look at this offense, there's really not a lot that's great there. I think you have some quality backs, and you have Robbie Anderson, and I'm not sure. You can maybe quibble about a guy here or there, but that's really what this offense is based on. And, of course, we remember last year Bryce Petty and Robbie Anderson had a decent – it wasn't a spectacular connection, but they had a decent connection. Anderson's productivity started to pick up later in the season. That's one of the, you know, it's one of the funny things is people talk about how Josh McCown was instrumental in Robbie Anderson developing this year. I mean, I don't want to take away from McCown, and I think he probably did show Anderson some of the finer points of receiving, but you have to remember, Petty and Anderson had a decent connection the end of last year, too. So I don't think McCown leaving the lineup is necessarily going to be a terrible development for Anderson. I think, you know, I would expect Anderson to continue to produce. I think they'll probably take, Petty will probably take some shots with Anderson deep, and we'll see how Lattimore holds up. This is a tough test for Anderson, and, you know, Anderson, not great last week against the Denver corners. Denver has some quality corners, so this will be an even tougher test for him. You know, is he gonna, can he deliver this week? Can he produce some numbers and keep the Jets in this game? Because the Jets are going to have to score points in this game. You're going up against Drew Brees. You're going to have to score points. Now let's move to the defensive side of the ball. And I am going to go with Jamal Adams versus Alvin Kamara. And it's rookie versus rookie. You know, two really solid rookies. Two rookies having good seasons. And I think Adams will probably play against Kamara when he's... you'll probably see that pretty frequently when Kamara is used in the receiving game. That's the way the Jets have tended to do things this season. You know, you've heard a lot about the season DeMario Davis is having, and even Darren Lee's played a little bit better over the last month plus. I think a big part of that has been that the Jets have taken, to the fullest extent that they can, I think the Jets have kind of tried to take things off their plate. And one of the things is that, you know, when the Jets go up against a really good receiver, whether it's a back, whether it's a tight end, they've tried to put Adams on them in coverage, tried to take coverage. To some extent, they've tried to take simplify coverage for the two linebackers. So I think you'll see Adams against Kamara. Kamara's, you know, really, you know, excellent playmaker. He's done a great job for the Saints this year. And Adams will have a, you know, Adams also a guy who supports the Jets in the run game. So important guy on the defense. I think that he's the guy to watch if the Jets are going to slow Kamara down. Kamara's, again, having a tremendous rookie season. He's averaging 7 yards per rush right now. He's got 600. I mean, right now he's got over 1,200 yards. He's got 608 rushing yards, 639 receiving yards, average of 7 on the ground, 11 total touchdowns from scrimmage. He's having a monster rookie season, so... lots of Jets are going to have to step up, but I think the big guy you're looking at is Adams. I think Adams obviously supports in the run game, and I think in coverage he'll see Kamara his fair share of time. Now let's talk about keys to victory. And on offense, I'm going with play complementary football. And that's, you know, that's something we don't talk about that frequently, but I think that that's going to be very important for the Jets in this game is, you know, when you game plan, you're talking about what do I do well, what does the opponent do poorly. You're trying to find some combination there. But in this game, I think you also look at what's it going to take for this team to win the game. And I think that the Jets are going to need to slow this game down a little bit, run the ball effectively, limit the possessions the Saints have, keep that Saints offense off the field. So I think it's not just about, you know, what you do well, what they do poorly. I think for me, when it comes to game planning this week, the overriding principle is how do you win this game? And I think that's by keeping Drew Brees on the sideline. So I think the Jets are going to need to put together some long drives. That means running the ball effectively, taking time, letting the clock melt, you know, bleeding the clock. And the other thing is I think you have to try and establish the run early to get Bryce Petty comfortable. You know, you're starting you're starting a young quarterback. It's his first start of the season. He doesn't have a ton of experience. He only has a few games of starting experience under his belt. You need to kind of ease him into the game. Give him some easy completions that'll keep the clock running. You know, you don't want to spread the field the first play, have him making full field reads. You want to build his confidence up a little bit. So I think these are all aspects that show you the Jets should play relatively conservatively. And on defense, that's also good. I'm going to say play conservatively on defense. I think Drew Brees is the type of guy who eats you alive when you blitz him. He, you know, eats. It's I think the Jets need to play a lot of a lot of two man deep safety, two safeties deep, and you trust that your safeties have enough range to come down and help support in the run game. And you need a big game out of the defensive line. Yeah, that's what it comes down to. Is, you know, one of the challenges in the NFL is what do you do with your safeties? If you only have one guy deep, then you're vulnerable deep because one guy can't cover the full field. If you keep two safeties deep, you're a little more vulnerable up against the run game because you have one less guy in the box. So I think really the path to victory is I think the Jets need to keep two guys deep, play conservatively on defense, don't allow the big play, and hope that your defensive line can compensate for maybe one less safety in the box than you typically have. So I think, because Drew Brees will eat you alive if you get too aggressive. And so you just have to hope that, and the Saints have a good run game too, so that's not a lock to work. But I think you look at the personnel on this Jets team, you need your front seven to win their matchups, and that starts with the defensive line. That'll do it for our show today. Thanks for listening. This has been the Locked On Jets podcast. It's part of the Locked On Podcast Network. If you enjoy the show, please subscribe to it. Your options include iTunes and Spotify, and please leave it a good review. Hope you enjoy the game. We'll be back again Monday to recap it.